because it's all vague to me, like I'm walking in mid-conversation. My words die as my mind flies through the possibility that he's right, no matter how impossible it is. Because you are, Zayden lifts his brows, and he wants me to deliver you. They have their own lightning wielder, I argue like I can reason with Zayden's subconscious. But it's my nightmare, and I only have one you, he says. It's getting harder and harder not to go to Drathus, just to prove to myself that it's all in my head. His eyes flare, then narrow. But it shouldn't be in yours. Has it ever happened with anyone else? How would I know? I shake my head. I don't think so, but I don't remember all my dreams. Still, there's that nightmare I had in Samara. That one still sticks with me. It's as visceral as a memory, as visceral as these nightmares. How much do you know about the fall of Cliffsbane? He grips the edge of the dresser. You dreamed about Cliffsbane? When I was in Samara, I nod. In the dream, I was in my room, at least I think it was mine, and the fire was coming. But I wouldn't leave without the portrait of my family and... The family in the portrait. The honey brown eyes. The burn on my hand. And what? He walks toward me slowly, studying me like he doesn't already intimately know every inch of my body. My heart rate picks up and nausea racks my stomach. I told Kat she had to live because she's the future queen of Tirindor, and the way Kat looked at me, I swallow the bile that rides the fear rising in my throat. It was like I was precious to her. What if I fight the urge to be sick? What if I was Marin? Zayden sits at the foot of the bed, and the muscles of his back ripple as he tenses. You were in Marin's dream. He turns to face me, and something that looks eerily like terror widens his eyes before he can mask it. That's not possible. I wrap my arms around my stomach. Maybe with you because of the bond, but there's no way to trip into someone else's dream. There is if you're a dreamwalker. He nods thoughtfully, and my heart pounds as I guess what he's about to say. It must be your second signet, the one being bonded to Andarna gives you. It would make sense. Her kind are peaceful, and the ability itself would be passive, even a gift in a culture like that. A what? My back stiffens. There's no such thing as dream walking, and the Irids told her that she gave me something more dangerous than lightning. It was one of the reasons they were so angry with her. There is such a thing, Zayden's voice drops. It's absolutely more dangerous than lightning. It's a form of intrinsic, he ends on a whisper.
I don't read minds. That can't be right, I shake my head.
You don't read them. You walk straight into them when unconscious. My jaw slackens and I reach for Andarna. Is it true? Taryn rustles but stays silent.
I did not choose it any more than Taryn chose lightning, she says defensively. But you have been known to wander while dreaming. It's harmless. You're mostly drawn to him.
The blanket falls from my fingers.
And you said nothing?
Taryn growls.
You did not inform her the first time she wielded lightning, Andarna argues. She needed to discover it herself.
Oh, gods, I start to shake. Shit, Zayden tucks the blanket around me, then pulls me into his lap. It's going to be all right.
It doesn't make sense. Signets are based on our unique bond and the power of the dragon.
My thoughts tumble over themselves as I babble.
And what we need most. So it's logical that you needed to know everyone's intentions when you manifested. You had to keep the marked ones safe. But there's no part of me who wants or needs to know what anyone else is dreaming.
The trembling stops as it clicks and I understand. Except when I did. I was cut off from her while she slept all those months.
Andarna, he nods.
That makes sense. My signet doesn't work on dragons, and I'm guessing yours doesn't either. So you unknowingly developed it on a human.
On you.
I search his face for any sign of anger, but find none.
I'm so sorry.
You have nothing to apologize for. He strokes my hair and holds my gaze. You didn't know. Didn't do it on purpose.
Of course not. I would never purposely violate his privacy that way, or Marin's.
Which is what makes you exceptionally dangerous. His jaw flexes twice. I can only read someone while they're awake, and I'm limited by their ability to shield. No one can shield while they're sleeping. You could potentially walk straight into Melgren's own dreams, and he couldn't stop you. Probably wouldn't even know.
His face twists for a heartbeat before he quickly masks it.
Violet, they'll kill you if they find out. It won't matter that you're the best weapon they have against the Venon. Against me. They'll snap your neck and call it self-defense.
Well, that's terrifying.
Only if it's true. I slide off his lap and start pulling on my sparring uniform, leaving my armor draped on the back of the chair.
It's just dreams, right? If it's dreams. It's like tripping into someone's fears, not their actual thoughts.
Except I think you meddle because I wanted to channel on that field and found myself raising my hand instead.
What are you doing?
Meddle? I can only think of one way to confirm for sure, and don't worry, I'll be careful.
I button my pants, then stare as he rises and pulls a set of dry clothes from his pack.
What are you doing?
Going with you, obviously. There's no point in arguing, so we both dress. A few minutes and several stares later, I knock on Marin's door. It takes her a minute to answer, and when she does, her eyes are groggy with sleep.
Violet? Ryerson?
She asks with a jaw-cracking yawn.
What's going on?
I'm sorry to wake you, but I need to ask you something completely weird. I rub the bridge of my nose. There's no other way to say it, and I need you to not ask me why.
Tread carefully, Zayden warns.
All right, Marin folds her arms over her robe. Did you happen to have a portrait of your family? I ask.
I still do, Marin answers, her forehead puckering.
Is something wrong with my brothers? I just saw them a few hours ago. No, I shake my head vehemently. Nothing like that.
Maybe we're wrong, and this is just some weird effect from the bond. If Marin still has the portrait, then it couldn't have caught fire. Then Zayden can't be right. I didn't walk into her dream.
Here, I'll show you, Marin offers, then disappears into her room. She's back within a few seconds and holds out the portrait.
Recognition hits with all the subtlety of a dagger.
I've seen it before. The soft smiles, the honey brown eyes. Gods, no wonder the boys looked familiar to me. I was just in too much pain to register why the first time.
It's beautiful, I force myself to swallow.
Thanks. She draws back her hand. I keep it with me wherever we go.
You're not worried about losing it?
That used to be my worst nightmare, actually, she says, staring down at the miniature. Until I lived through losing them.
Worst nightmare. It takes every ounce of self-control I have to keep my expression flat.
I can understand that all too well. Thank you for sharing that with me.
Silver One, Tarn bellows. Zayden's head tilts and Marin stiffens.
I'm right here.
A horde approaches from the east, he shouts.
Bells peal, the loudest of them, straight overhead.
We're under attack.
An excerpt from Tactics Part 2, a personal memoir by Lieutenant Lyran Pancheck.
For maximum potential, riders should be stationed close to their villages if possible. Nothing is a more effective motivator than seeing one's home on fire.
Chapter 51.
How many? I ask Taryn as we race down the steps. Doors open on every floor we pass, and people pour out of their rooms, most still tugging on their uniforms. Only a small percentage are in black.
A few dozen. Hard to tell with the weather. 20 minutes out, maybe less. I'm on my way to you.
And Darna, I start as Zayden makes it into our bedroom first.
Do not tell me to stay put, she shouts. I can scorch the dark wielders.
I'll take yelling at me over silence any day. Guard the wardstone! I dart around Zayden as he shoves his arms into his flight jacket, then grab my own out of the armoire. Fuck, I'm in sparring gear and lack armor, but it will have to do. At least my boots are on. Within minutes, we're both armed and running down the hall into a growing crowd. How many on patrol? Zayden shouts to Brennan when we make it to the foyer. Six, Brennan answers, buttoning his flight jacket. The horde outflew the two on the Drayler route, and the other four are 20 minutes due west. Well, that's the wrong fucking direction for what we need. If they outflew two dragons, they have to be Greenfire Wyvern, I say, looking up as a conglomeration of riders, infantry, and my own squad mates races in our direction with thundering boot steps. Noted. Riders and residents? Zayden asks, his gaze sweeping over the staircases as I weave my hair into a simple three-strand braid to keep it out of my way. 15 retired, 10 active. With you, 11, Brennan replies. Taking over all outposts and Tirindor from Navarian riders left us undermanned. Suri? Zayden scans the foyer. Intervane, Brennan flinches. And Ulysses in Llewellyn, Zayden finishes. So neither of the generals of my army are present. Correct, Brennan confirms. His army. My fingers stall in my hair as it hits me. Zayden isn't the ranking officer here, but he's in command. The weight of that responsibility would buckle my knees, but he simply nods at my brother's catastrophic news. That's irksome. Zayden looks up at the stairs. All right, we work with what we have. Felix, keep the first year safe and your eye on that one. His finger swings toward Arik. Infantry, get to your posts and take out any wyvern we drive to the ground. Riders, run faster. He pivots toward Brennan, and the others scurry to follow orders. Thoughts? Wards are still up here, or we would feel it. Brennan tilts his head. I tie off the end of my braid. Considering the stones in the backyard, that's not saying much, Zayden replies. They haven't spotted any venom among the patrol flight, Brennan adds as Rhee reaches my side, Imogen close on her heels. But it's fucking huge, so they must be expecting to breach the city walls. Their course was noted as due west. Arik pauses on the landing above, his brow furrowing before Felix practically shoves him down the hall. If I'm them, I'm flying in small batch waves to test the barrier of the wards, Brennan continues. My recommendation is to station the officers 2 to 5 miles east, put the squad of older riders at the city gates, and assign the cadets to the wardstone as a last defense. Holy shit, does this feel familiar? And I wasn't exactly thrilled with how the last time played out. Zayden's jaw ticks and his gaze darts back and forth for a second as he thinks. I'll join the officers, he tells Brennan, and my heart jolts. The older riders might be skilled, but half don't fly. I'm your best weapon, I interject. If you won't put me on the first line, then station me at the gates. Absolutely not, Brennan snaps, leveling a horrified look at me. She's right, Zayden grimaces, then schools his features. Split the retired riders, half to the wardstone, half throughout the city in case civilians need to flee for the caves. You're on the wall, Cadet Sorengale. Send all of us, Rhee adds. It's not like second and third years haven't seen combat. If it's fight and die or don't fight and die, we'd rather fight. Zayden nods. Only those who are willing. We're willing, Dane answers from the step beside Bodhi. Every second and third year crowded near them nods. Fine. Atos, your wing, your command, Zayden says, and Brennan takes off to relay orders. Wind gusts through the front door as people rush out to take their positions. Third years, you're with me at the east gate to the city. Second years, you're with Mateus at the north. Work in pairs, Dane orders. I'm here, Taryn announces. Enemy is 10 minutes out. Holy shit. That's the closest any wyvern has come to Aracia. I'm coming with you. Bodhi jumps the last two steps, landing beside Zayden. You're staying with the first years, Zayden immediately counters. What? My eyebrows fly upward. The fuck I am? The absolute wrath on Bodhi's face has me retreating a step. I will be at your side. You will be as deep within this house as possible, Zayden gets right up in his face. Because I'm not a weapon like you are, Bodhi argues. Cure and I are just as deadly in the air. Because you're first in line, Zayden clasps the back of his cousin's neck. Neither of us have an heir.
We're all there is, Bodhi. I don't have time to argue, and you will do as ordered. Our family just got Tirindor back, and we will not lose her because of your ego. Understood?
Bodhi's eyes narrow.
We'll lose her because of yours. Understood.
He pivots and disappears into the crowd. That didn't go well, I mutter.
Fuck.
Zayden says under his breath, then turns to me and leans into my space.
I love you more than this city. Do not die defending it.
He crushes his mouth to mine and kisses me quick and fierce.
Tirindor, Zayden, our relationship, me.
It's hard to love someone in power. I pull back. As motivational speeches go, that was not your best. My gaze sweeps over his face, memorizing every line.
I love you. Stay out of the clouds, off the ice, and come back to me, whole.
He nods, his eyes flashing as he catches my meaning, and then he's gone. There's no time to contemplate if that was our last kiss.
Do not worry for him, Tarn orders. He wins no matter how this battle goes.
Don't be an ass. I follow Rhi and Kat toward the front door.
Sorengale! Arik shouts, and I look back over my shoulder to see him sprinting down the steps. Wait!
Don't have a lot of time here, I reply, letting the other second years pass.
You have to protect Dune's temple.
Arik runs across the foyer, followed by two exasperated guards.
I have an entire city to protect. The temple is outside the walls.
He glances toward the open door.
If that's where our orders...
No, he shakes his head, then seems to fight for words.
You have to protect the temple.
Is he fucking kidding me right now?
Did you make some alliance I'm not aware of?
I ask, backing away. Singling out Zanal's temple in the spirit of alliance is something I could understand, but Dune?
So help me, Malik. If another Navarian aristocrat has been making deals behind my back, I'm going to lose my shit.
It's not, he starts as a group of soldiers races past.
Violet, Rhiannon yells. We have to fly. Coming,
I call back over my shoulder before addressing Arik.
Dune's temple attendants are skilled in protecting themselves.
It's how you save Tirindor.
Arik's voice drops to a whisper.
By favoring Dune?
I shake my head. The time to weigh in on strategy was about 5 minutes ago. Go be with your yearmates. I leave without waiting for his response and join my yearmates, filing through the doorway.
Orders?
Sawyer asks, cracking his knuckles.
Flyers at the base,
Rhi blinks, then looks over us quickly as we walk into the blustery vestiges of the dying storm. The rain has eased, but what it lacks in intensity, it makes up for with ice-cold chill. The courtyard is teeming with dragons and griffins. They wait on the walls, on the ground, and in the streets beyond the gate.
No, flyers on top of the wall for easier maneuverability,
Rhiannon orders with a nod.
We're splitting strengths, so Sorengale and I will hover at 100 feet. Everything above that is ours. Henrik and Gamlin will cover from the ground to our sector,
she shouts over the wind.
Most of us have family here, so fight like it.
We all nod in agreement, then split to mount. I pull my flight goggles down and find Tarn front and center.
You couldn't wait off to the side like the others?
No.
He dips his shoulder and I mount quickly, my boots keeping their grip despite his rain-slick scales.
You must get faster at reacting to attacks like these.
I can't tell leadership to make decisions faster.
I settle into the wet saddle, then buckle the water-laden strap with quickly cramping hands.
Then perhaps we need to make our own decisions.
Tarn grumbles, then launches without preamble or warning. I'm thrown back in the seat as he catapults upward at a vertical trajectory, so close to Ryerson House that I cringe, expecting to hear claw collide with stone.
I am not an amateur,
Tarn reminds me as we crest the top of the house. Then, bank hard right to join the others as they take to the skies. His little maneuver may have pushed my heart through my spine, but it gave Fjerg, Atrum, and Sleeg time and space to launch northward, out of the courtyard. I ignore the instinct begging me to look east to catch another glimpse of Zayden, or even Sigale's wings. My focus is needed here and now. Zayden is more than capable of taking care of himself, as long as he doesn't channel magic that isn't his. The city rushes underneath us as we soar toward the north gate. Infantry races through the mage light-illuminated streets to their positions. Civilians scurry from house to house. Temple attendants dart into their sanctuaries, except those who serve Zinal. They're on the front steps of their shrine, drinking as we pass over. Only when I verify that Rhiannon's family has light shining through their windows do I scan the cloudy skies ahead of the northern wall. Have to love fighting in the dark, I mutter, dragging my sleeve over my flight goggles to clear them.
I've heard you have quite the solution to that, Taren counters.
Good point. I retrieve the conduit from my left pocket, fasten the strap at my wrist, and palm the glass orb. Then I crack open my archives door. Taren's power rushes in, heating my skin and my rain-chilled hands. Energy hums in my veins, condenses in my chest, and when it crackles into the conduit, I lift my right hand to the sky and wield, splaying my fingers wide as I push the power upward and it erupts through me. Lightning streaks through the cloud overhead, branching out in dozens of directions and illuminating the field for the length of 2 heartbeats. Pairs of gray-winged wyvern fly toward us on dozens of different flight paths from dozens of different altitudes, disappearing into the darkness as the light collapses and thunder booms. Brennan was right about the wyvern flying in small batches to test the wards. He just failed to anticipate that they'd do so in such a wide arc, and it's going to cost us. They aren't in formation like Bazgaeth, I note to Taren as we reach the northern gate and climb to hold a hover with Fierg. Steam rises from my skin, but I keep my archives door open, allowing the power to gather within me so I don't have to reach for it next time.
Either they've traded the security of formation in hopes smaller pairings will get through, Taren muses, or they know you're here and formations make a bigger target.
That would require one of the Dark Wielders to have escaped Bazgaeth. I glance downward and see Sleeg and Atrum land at the gates, a row of griffins manning the walls above them.
It would, Taren agrees, then rumbles low in his chest. The officers have made contact.
Zayden, worry fights like hell to worm its way into my chest. You'll tell me if something—
You'd know, Taren replies, then snakes his head right toward Fierg. Your squad leader requests light.
I know Rhi isn't talking about the glow from the orb, so I twist my hand upward and wield again. Heat whips through me and lightning strikes overhead, spreading through the cloud. I hold my fingers in their splayed position and push another wave of energy outward, prolonging the strike in a way I've never managed before. Rain sizzles when it hits my cheeks, and I quickly count 4 pairs of wyvern flying in our direction, unimpeded. My fingertips burn and I drop my hand, effectively cutting the strike. Thunder roars louder than any dragon I've come across.
Impressive, Taren says.
Impressive, but foolish, I wince, then hold the conduit over my right hand. 2 blisters bubble the skin on the outside of my forefinger. What are our orders?
The squad leader, he growls, incorrectly instructs to stick close to the walls. But it's the wrong call. Your power should not be wielded in such proximity to civilians.
Not until I'm a hell of a lot better at controlling it, I agree. Relay that.
She hesitates. Taren's head swivels toward Fierg. We cannot afford to do so.
Fuck. The last thing I want to do is go against Rhi or leave my squad. And now I'm the one hesitating because Taren is right. Go, I breathe in deeply. Tell them to stay back as ordered, but you and I have to go.
Agreed. He launches forward. A wind wielder has been assigned to bring moonlight. Now ready yourself. We have 2 minutes until they're on us.
My heart begins to pound. Did the officer's line fall?
They circumnavigated it. His head tilts again. We're taking the pair on the high left. Fierg has joined us.
Let's go. Fighting in pairs makes sense, but Rhi has never left the squad. Taren beats his wings in 3 consecutive hard pumps, and we surge forward, gaining altitude immediately with Fierg close behind. It's too dark ahead, I can't see, I warn Taren. There's a stark line of black to my left I know belongs to the mountains, but the farther we fly from the city lights, the fewer shapes I can spot in the sky ahead of us. Everything blurs in the dark. And miles away toward the east, flames erupt in streams of orange and green.
We are the dark, Drop the conduit, he orders.
I won't be able. My chest clenches as magic ripples. We've passed the protections of the wards.
Drop it!
I release my fingers and the orb falls to the end of its chain, the light dying as the glass thumps the back of my arm. There's nothing left to do but make myself the smallest burden possible, so I grip the pommels and lie as flat as I can while smothering Tarn's power.
Tell me you made it to the wardstone, I call back to Andarna.
It is well protected, she promises, and her words lift the hair at the back of my neck.
Are you at? I start. Prepare!
Tarn orders. We hit a fucking wall. At least that's how it feels as I hurtle forward, my momentum giving zero cares that Tarn has all but stopped in the sky. Claw and teeth collide with scale as I'm whipped backward, my weight driving into the seat. Gravity pulls from the left and air rushes from the ground as my stomach rises. All I can do is hold tight and trust Tarn. A shriek threatens to pierce my eardrums before it ends abruptly, only to be followed by the wet sound of flesh tearing, then a series of snaps. Tarn levels out, and two wingbeats later, I hear a thud beneath us.
It's been ages since I've honored the color of my scale in such a manner, Tarn declares with a pitch of pride.
You blended in with the night, Andarna scoffs. Hardly an accomplishment.
You sound closer than you should be. Why won't she ever stay where she's supposed to?
Tarn rumbles low in his chest, and fire streaks ahead of us. Fierg's flame outlines the shape of the wyvern's partner a second before she surges for its gray throat. The green dagger tail's body swings forward as her teeth sink into the wyvern's neck. The creature screams, and its wings beat frantically as it tries to escape.
Hold tight!
Tarn increases his speed, and I do exactly as he orders, bracing for another impact. My body is going to hate me tomorrow if we survive the night. Clouds clear just enough for the moon to shine as Tarn flies straight at the flailing wyvern. Tarn tucks his left wing as we skim by Fjerg's claws, passing so close that my eyes lock with Rhys for a scant second. Then I whip my head forward, and Tarn barrels into the wyvern's barbed tail, opening his jaws and taking hold with his teeth. Then he rolls.
Holy fucking nausea.
I pitch forward with Tarn, and the sky turns into ground. The saddle straps dig into my thighs as we flip, and small pinpricks of light blur beneath me. Above me. I can't even tell. They disappear before I can process the pull of gravity. Bone snaps as the sky appears again, and Tarn lets go. The wyvern falls, smashing into the ground a few seconds later.
We broke its neck,
he announces, flaring his wings to halt our momentum. My head swims, and my stomach threatens to release its contents.
Let's never do that again.
I check to make sure Rhys all right, and she lifts a hand in acknowledgement.
It was an effective maneuver,
Tarn argues.
The opposite force twisted the creature's spine.
I get how it worked.
Never again.
The moonlight makes it possible to scan the field fully, and my heart drops at the sight of piled wings near the north gate. I can't differentiate among them in the dark, but I can make out the gaping hole in the top of the wall.
Your yearmates have brought down two pairs themselves, but the bodies have caused destruction,
Tarn says in explanation. The wards have not been reached by Wyvern. They'll continue to send waves to test the boundaries. His head whips back and forth between the horde holding off to the east and those engaged in combat before them. Zayden. My feelings get the best of me, and I reach down the bond. Instead of warm, shimmering shadow, I'm met with a wall of onyx ice so cold it burns to the touch. I inhale sharply and throw up a shield. Is Sigael all—
She copes, Tarn interrupts, his head snapping left. Look below.
The muscles along my stomach tense. Four wyverns skim the ground at dizzying speed, keeping low as if trying to get by undetected. I swing my gaze, projecting their flight path, and find Andarna waiting in front of a lone structure in a field beyond the walls, flicking her tail. Terror steals the breath from my lungs.
Go!
Tarn tucks his wings, and we dive. Wind tears at my hair, and I fight gravity to palm the conduit. Then I forget the fall and focus only on the wyvern. Power rushing back to my surface. I gather it, condense it, burn with it.
then summon more and more until I am light and heat and energy itself. Not too much, Tern warns as I lift my right hand against the wind. But how can it be too much when I am the very thing I wield? I keep my eyes on the wyvern as we approach the inevitable point of intersection and spool power like thread as the ground flies up to meet us. We can stay ahead of them if we get there fast enough. I just need 5 seconds. We have 50 feet of altitude on them and the same in distance. 5. Tern snaps his wings to slow our fall. 4. The bones in my spine grind at the abrupt change in momentum. But he's brought us close enough to see the tips of their clawed wings, and they're only getting closer. 3. My body burns as I twist in the saddle and wield, releasing the coil of energy with a flare of my hand in one heartbeat. Then, dragging it downward with 2 scalded fingertips in the next. 2. Tern beats his wings, lifting us as lightning rends the sky, and maybe time. Everything seems to move slower as I force my fingers apart, splitting the bolt in 2. Heat devours my breath and pain becomes my entire existence as I direct the scorching blasts into the wyvern's flight path. 1. The strike hits the lead pair and they burst into flames, missing Tern by a matter of feet, as they fall out of formation in streaks of fire, revealing the remaining 2. And 1 carries a silver-haired rider. 0. Thunder shakes the alloy in the conduit, and my hand falls as Tern drops onto the nearest wyvern. The creature screeches, and the world spins in a flurry of black and gray wings. Tern bellows, and his pain replaces mine. An excerpt from Major Rorally's Guide to Appeasing the Gods, 2nd edition. Dedicating oneself to temple work isn't just a noble pursuit. Becoming high priest or priestess is the closest most of us will get to touching the power of the gods. The rest are riders. Chapter 52.
Tern! I scream, and my mouth floods with the bitterness of newfound terror. No! And Darna yells.
We skid to a halt in the prairie grass, and I lift my head just in time to see Fjerg fly after Theophany's wyvern, who's taken to the sky.
Dune, no. As strong as Rhea is, even the 2 of us together aren't a match for a maven, and we aren't together. And Darna, tell Fjerg not to chase.
Bone crunches beneath Tern, and I draw a breath of pure fire.
Are you all right?
I ask him, fumbling the buckle at my waist so I can see how badly he's hurt. Heat sears my lungs, and I reach for power in preparation to fight Theophany. There's no way she's going to leave this field without getting what she came for, which I suspect is me. She'll be back.
Cut it off, Tern demands, and something else snaps beneath him. You'll burn out.
But Theophany!
Ice pierces through my shields like they aren't even there.
Violet!
Not Ice. Zayden.
I'm fine. Stay in control and don't get distracted. Theophany is here.
I slam the archive's door shut in my mind and breathe in the cold night air, extinguishing the flames licking the inside of my lungs. It was too much, too fast, but I'm not burnt out, just a little singed.
Get Tern back to the wards as soon as you can.
The ice slides away.
On it!
That wasn't fine, Tern snarls and walks off the corpse of the wyvern, favoring his left hind leg.
Says the one who's wounded, I counter as Fjerg flies back toward us. How serious is it?
Thunder booms to the east, and it's not mine.
Oh, shit. The storm, that's how they got this far, undetected.
Its wingspur broke off in my leg. I will live. It does not.
He swivels his head toward Andarna and stalks her way, limping slightly.
Your inability to follow simple orders will get her killed, and I will not lose her as I did the one who came before.
I'm fine. My temperature lowers with every breath, and high, intricately carved marble pillars come into view. I didn't burn out. I wasn't even as close as I was the day.
The words die as Tern stops, then lowers his head, clearing my field of vision. And Darna stands in front of the steps of Dune's temple, flanked
by a half-dozen sword-brandishing attendants who look between us as if they're not sure who to be more wary of, the reckless dragon beside them, the massive one in front of them, or the snarling green dagger tail arriving to my left.
What could you possibly be doing here? I shout at Andarna, finally ripping my buckle free. I have to get that wing spur out of Tarn's leg before Theophany returns.
The prince said to protect Dune's temple, she argues, flicking her tail and knocking over a vat of burning coals that hiss as they hit the wet marble. The embers narrowly miss the 20-foot-tall statue of the goddess, which looks almost exactly like the one in Umbriel.
Arik said that to me, I counter, moving to Tarn's shoulder, but he doesn't lower it. Not you, and I denied his suggestion.
How are you angry? Princes do not make suggestions, and I am an extension of you.
Andarna marches forward, lowering her head in threat.
Am I not everything you wanted me to be? Am I not as fierce and courageous as he is? Is this not what I am supposed to do? Sharpen my claws on the scales of the enemy?
The wind picks up and something in my chest cracks.
Your tantrum is ill-timed, Golden One, Tarn growls.
Do not call me a child,
and Darna's scales shimmer but remain black.
Do not act like one, he snarls.
What was that all about? Rhiannon shouts from Fjerg's back. We could have caught them,
and died.
That was Theophany, I call back. And?
Rhi throws her arms up.
And I couldn't fly with you, Tarn's wounded, I reply.
Does she have a death wish? Let me down so I can get that thing out of your leg, or I'll just jump. Tarn dips his shoulder with a grumble and I dismount a few feet in front of Andarna. I don't need you to be anything but who you are. I yank my flight goggles to the top of my head and look straight into her golden eyes. Clearly, we need to have a conversation when we're not in the middle of a battlefield. You always say that you chose me, but I stood in front of you on that threshing field, and I would do it again. She huffs a breath, and we head for Tarn's hind leg, keeping one eye on the sky. I will never understand what goes on in an adolescent brain. My stomach lurches as the wound comes into view. Holy shit, the wing spur is easily half my size and embedded in his thigh. There's no way he can launch with it in, and even out, the wound might cause too much pain. Moonlight catches on his blood as it drips down his scales. How in Dune's name am I supposed to get that thing out? I'm so sorry.
It looks worse than it is. Merely the tip is embedded.
How much pain are you in?
Mentally or physically?
He growls.
Your sarcasm is ill-timed.
I reach to the full extent of my height, but can't come close to the wing spur.
Where is he hurt?
Rhiannon asks, jogging over. Mercifully, she looks unharmed.
There, I point up at his thigh and she gasps. You should get back to the others. We're vulnerable out here.
I'm not leaving. You don't always have to do everything on your own.
She backs up a handful of steps and lifts her arms.
Sometimes I do, I counter.
She shakes her head.
We can handle this.
Are you really? I start, my eyebrows rising as she tenses. A moment later, Tarn roars and I flinch. The wing spur appears in front of Rhiannon. My mouth drops as she shoves it away, and the hooked piece of claw topples to the ground.
How did you just do that?
I practice, Rhiannon grins and drags the back of her hand across her forehead, wiping away a sheen of sweat. Though it's the biggest thing I've ever retrieved.
Thank you.
I grab her into a quick hug, then look up at Tarn's wound.
I can't see much in the dark. We need to get you back to the valley.
His head swivels toward us, and Fjerg turns too.
It is too late for that. We have minutes.
Wing beats fill the air, and I spot three wyvern on approach, a blur of more in the distance. Rhiannon and I lock eyes for one telling second, and then we both run. She sprints toward Fjerg, and I bolt underneath Tarn, racing toward his foreleg.
Fly back now,
I order Andarna.
They'd be defenseless,
she argues, and my heart drops when I emerge under Tarn's chest. Dozens of white-haired temple attendants and their high priestess wait at the top of the steps behind Andarna, their attention focused on the night sky.
Get inside, I shout,
Some shelter is better than no shelter, right?
So we can burn inside, the High Priestess asks, her voice eerily calm as the wingbeats grow louder.
Shit, there's no time to argue and I can't abandon them. And Darna's right. If we take to the skies, we leave them defenseless, and Taryn is already wounded. But I don't need to be mounted to wield.
Tell Fjerg to go, I say down the bond, then run up the rain-slick marble steps for a higher vantage point, palming the conduit. I'd ask you to go with her, but I know better.
And yet you still mentioned it.
Taryn slowly turns to face the incoming wyvern with Andarna and lifts his tail high.
Be warned. Should Theophany appear, I will choose your life over the attendants.
Should Theophany appear, we're all fucked. If any Venon report to the others that they've gotten this close to Aresha's gates without being halted by wards, they'll skip over the undrained territory of Krovla and come for our hatching ground. We can't afford to let a single wyvern escape.
Will you at least consider taking cover? I ask the High Priestess when I reach the landing.
We will not. Her gaze assesses me in 2 seconds, then lingers on the silver half of my braid.
Do you use lye and the juice of the manwasa flower on your hair as we do?
My eyebrows hit my hairline. Does she realize how much danger we're in? Now can't be the right time to have this conversation.
It just grows like this.
Does it? Her tattooed forehead crinkles. You have journeyed far to come to our aid. The priestess draws the short sword sheathed at her hip.
Either Dune protects us, or we meet Malik as her worthy servants.
Dune isn't going to appear and take up arms, I argue, even though I know it's pointless. Then turn to stand at her side. Taryn has prowled to the left, giving me a clear view of the three approaching wyvern, while Fjerg stands ready to fly to the right of the steps.
Of course not, the priestess scoffs and the wind picks up.
She sent you. Well, she's never been revered for her judgment. I add temple attendance to the growing list of thought processes I'll never comprehend and open my archives door just enough to test. Power fills my veins like hot water poured over a sunburn. And I breathe in slowly, accepting the pain and setting my new baseline.
Why hasn't Fjerg launched?
The squad leader will not leave you, Andarna replies.
Damn it, I lift my right hand.
Let's not do that,
a familiar voice says from my left. My head snaps in that direction, and dread anchors my feet to the temple floor. I unsheath both my daggers.
Theophany.
Taryn's head swivels, his growl rattling what's left of the spilled coals, and attendants gasp all around us.
Launch, before she drains you,
I beg Taryn and Andarna, but true to their nature, they stay put.
Lift a blade or a hand to wield, and I'll kill you all. Come with me, and I'll let the rest live,
Theophany says from the base of the steps, her dark purple tunic contrasting the pallor of her skin. The red veins beside her eyes pulse in time with a heartbeat as she offers a weary smile that's all the more unsettling for its exhausted satisfaction. She cocks her head to the side.
Let's not fight, Violet. Doesn't all this violence tire you? Come with me. I'll give you what you want most.
You have no idea what I want most.
My stomach curdles, and the High Priestess sidesteps me.
Heretic, you are not welcome here, she shouts, her voice breaking with a rasp.
Heretic? My gaze darts between the two women as my mind races in time with my heartbeat. The faded forehead tattoo.
Theophany was a priestess of Dune. Her silver hair matches the attendants on Umbriel, matches mine.
My thoughts stall as the white-haired priestess raises her sword toward Theophany with a trembling arm.
Oh, shit. Power floods my body in a scalding rush of fire. There are too many people around for me to miss, and if she drains this close...
Perhaps I am not welcome,
Theophany muses, her feet planted in the grass.
But they are.
Two more Venon, men wearing red robes, walk through the grass behind her, and Andarna leaps over Tarn's tail, blasting a stream of fire Theophany's way. The scents of ash and sulfur fill the air, but when Andarna lands at the base of the steps to my right, Theophany still stands, untouched.
Why?
Andarna shrieks.
Marvelous, Theophany says with a smile.
Did that make you feel better? Theophany's gaze rises to the sky behind me, and she backs away, her eyes widening.
Leave them and go, she shouts to the approaching dark wielders and breaks into a run toward them. Now!
All three grasp hands, and the one in the center takes a single step and vanishes.
Just like Garrick. Incoming!
Tarn roars and my focus swings east. There's no time to ponder what in Malik's name just frightened Theophany so badly that she fled. The four wyverns still on approach descend in a wing formation, one taking point with the others closely following. And they're headed straight for us. I lift my right hand again, gathering more energy feels like I'm picking up the glowing coals Andarna scattered with my bare hands. But they'll be here in less than 30 seconds.
Any time now, Silver One!
Andarna prompts, moving back to Tarn's side and stalking forward as Fierg crouches, ready to take the fight to the sky. If darkness has thrown off my depth perception, if they're flying faster than I estimate, we're all about to be cooked. I target the lead wyvern and send up a prayer to Dune. Then I wield, releasing a blast of energy and flicking my finger downward. No holding on this time. I learned my lesson. Magic washes over me, prickling my skin in a familiar wave, and lightning strikes the first wyvern. It drops from the sky in a ball of fire, but we can't celebrate with three still— What the fuck? They're no longer flying toward us. They're falling. My heart beats wildly as they plummet like projectiles. The ground shudders as the one on the right hits about 60 feet ahead, its momentum driving it into the dirt.
Prepare!
Tarn shouts, leaping at the one on the left. Pain shoots down the bond as he knocks it off course, and dirt flies to the left of the temple when it lands, leaving one that rivals Fierg's size still falling. It slams against the ground 20 feet in front of Andarna, then skids toward us with all the grace of a battering ram. And it's not stopping.
Go!
Tarn orders, and fear clenches my chest as Andarna holds her position.
It's too big for you,
I shout. Fierg takes a single step and swings her head like a mace into Andarna's side, heaving her out of the wyvern's path just before it careens across the very ground she'd been standing on. The wyvern barrels toward us, eyes sightless, teeth exposed.
Move!
I grab the High Priestess's elbow and pull, dragging her out of the way as the carcass crashes toward the marble stairs. Screams erupt as attendants scatter and the wyvern's shoulders take out the bottom portion of the steps. At the same moment, its head crashes into the intricately carved central pillar.
Oh, shit.
The column explodes on impact and chunks of marble fly. Throwing up my hands, I push with all the lesser magic I'm capable of, but there's no stopping the claw-sized pieces of rock hurtling in every direction, including ours. But then, they do just that. Stop. The one a few feet from my face hangs in midair, its flame-inspired etched edges suspended by a single black band of shadow. Zayden. Relief weakens my knees, and the remnant of the destroyed pillar slowly lowers to the ground, settling with a thunk. All around us, attendants scurry out of the way as the other pieces descend gently. My head swings right, past the remaining pillars and the High Priestess, following the retreating shadows to their wielder. Zayden climbs the only intact section of steps two at a time, lowering his right hand while blood drips from the sword in his left. There's no trace of red in his eyes, just determination and quickly fading fear as he glances down my frame, looking for injuries. I do the same to him, and my heart jolts at the blood streaking the side of his face.
It isn't mine, he says a second before he pulls me against his chest.
I drop my forehead, breathing deeply to steady my heartbeat, and he presses a hard kiss to the top of my head.
And it is always you.
There's no benefit to arguing given the circumstances. How did you get here so quickly?
You let this happen to him? Sigale snaps. I step out of Zayden's arms and find Sigale's narrowed eyes and sharp teeth unsettlingly close. I'm sorry.
She bears no responsibility, Tern argues.
Sigale's head whips in his direction, and a thick wall of shields immediately blocks our connection. Cue fight.
She refused to hold her position once she felt the wound, Zayden replies, surveying the temple.
And I'm glad, or it looks like we'd both be dead. We were almost here when the wards went up.
The wards? My eyebrows rise. That explains the ripple of magic, the wyvern falling from the sky, Theophany's fear.
But how?
The sound of a slide whistle screeches through my head, and both Zayden and I pivot, putting our backs to the temple. To the left of the wyvern's body, behind Tern and Sigale, darkness transforms. Scales the color of night ripple into a shade that's not quite black or purple, forming the dragon whose horns carry the same swirling pattern as Andarna's.
It seemed necessary to fire your wardstone, Leothan says.
My stomach bottoms out.
The Irids have come.
An excerpt from Journal of Captain Lilith Sorengale. Asher returned today. Gods help us if anyone finds out. I'm not sure I'll ever forgive him for what he's done to her. Chapter 53.
If the Irids fired the Wardstone as the seventh breed, then Aracia is safe. Most of Tirindor is. It's too surreal, too easy. Emotions beyond names hit me from every side, but fear replaces them all when Fierg swings her body to confront the Irid, lowering her head and baring her teeth.
No! Andarna bounds from Tern's side, leaping over the wyvern to put herself in front of Fierg. He's of my line!
The green dagger tail retreats a single step, but leaves her head near the ground as Rhiannon dismounts, jumping straight to the platform of the temple. Zayden tenses at the sight of the Irid, even though there's no sign of red in his eyes.
You handle that, and I will see what needs to be done here.
Considering what happened the last time he met with an Irid, I nod.
Give him my gratitude, Zayden says quietly as Rhee races our way.
I will, I promise, locking eyes with Rhee. She bobs her head in acknowledgement, and then we walk down the stairs.
No weapons, I tell Rhee as we walk between Tern and Sigale.
They're pacifists.
Got it, she notes, keeping pace at my side. So he shouldn't burn us to death, right?
I refuse to tell Fierg that she was right. She'll never let me live it down, even if I'm dead. And I really want to know what just happened with those dark wielders.
I'll fill you in, I reply as we approach Leothan and Andarna.
Just be prepared for, Rhee gasps and covers her ears.
That, I finish with a wince.
Leothan glances at Rhee, then turns his back to the corpse of the wyvern with a look of what can only be called disdain. Andarna moves to my left when we reach them, flooding the bond with a mix of apprehension and excitement.
I would expect a warmer greeting from a green, Leothan lectures Rhee, then turns his golden gaze on me.
Thank you, I blurt awkwardly, craning my neck to look at him. You've saved everyone in this province.
I did not do it for you, he says, peering down at Andarna.
Harsh, Rhee whispers. I give my thanks, Andarna replies, her head high.
Your human is as dangerous as we feared.
He studies her with a tilted head, and my stomach sinks. Whatever he's seen has only confirmed the reasons they denied Andarna in the first place.
She defends her people, Andarna retorts, her claws flexing in the rain-soaked grass.
At least the weather has eased to a drizzle.
And ours.
As do you, Leothan's voice softens. I have been watching you since my arrival.
And no one knew. Tern bristles, and my throat grows tight.
And what have you seen?
And Darna's tail flicks overhead.
What judgment have you passed?
Her caustic tone certainly isn't going to help, and neither is the growl rumbling in Sigale's throat. The Irid narrows his eyes.
Your behavior is abhorrent, and your actions misguided.
She is a credit to our riot, Sigale hisses.
As we hoped she would be.
He swivels his head toward Sigale and Tarn angles into a striking position.
Yet, in none of the ways we value.
Rhys steps closer to my side.
None of which is her fault, I interject, and he looks my way. You set her up for what you consider failure when you left her here to be raised in the ways of the Empyrean.
You really want to yell at the massive unknown dragon? Rhys whispers.
I do, I answer, looking straight at him. There is nothing wrong with her. We can never thank you enough for what you've done tonight in firing our wards. But if you've only come to point out all the ways you believe her to be lacking, you'll find Fierg's greeting warmer than mine.
He tilts his head, then dismisses me, swinging his gaze to Andarna.
Your motives are honorable, he says. That was what I was going to say before I was interrupted by the blue.
Sigale,
Andarna corrects him, her tone a knife's edge softer than before.
Sigale, he repeats, then focuses on Andarna. We are separated by many generations, but share the same bloodline. Unlike the others you encountered, who are of a more distant line, we are of the same den. Or would have been, had you been raised among us.
He's her family. My heart clenches.
Your human may stay, he replies to Andarna. The rest may not participate in our conversation.
My eyebrows rise.
I will not leave them unprotected.
Tarn's claws flex next to Rhys.
The fact you think they need protection is why my words are only for them.
Leothan keeps his focus on Andarna.
I will only offer once.
Andarna tenses, then whips her head toward Tarn and Sigale.
I must hear him,
Sigale startles, and Rhys' hands jump to cover her ears. Tarn snarls, and I reach down the bond, but there's a stronger shield than his blocking us. Leothan. It's oddly similar to the effects of the serum they dosed us with during RSC. Every part of me rebels at the disconnect, but I owe it to Andarna to stay with her.
We will begin once they depart, Leothan promises.
He's cut us off from you, I say to Rhys, then look up at Tarn. I'll be all right.
Sigale bares her teeth, then pivots abruptly and turns toward the temple, toward Zayden.
You're sure?
Rhys asks, worry knitting her brow.
I'm sure.
I swallow the growing boulder in my throat.
I won't be the reason she can't hear him out.
Rhys looks like she's going to argue for a second, then nods.
We won't be far.
She follows Sigale, and Tarn growls in warning at Leothan before pivoting. And Darna's tail curves over my head.
It did not sit well with me that you were judged by the shortcomings of others,
Leothan states, dipping his head to Andarna's eye level.
Even the Darkwielder you seem fond of.
Hope flickers in my chest, burning away the expected insults, and Andarna's scales ripple in shades of black.
You should be given the chance to learn our ways,
he continues,
to choose our ways.
You will stay and teach me? She asks.
You will come home with me,
he answers, holding her gaze.
It may take a few years, but the others will accept my decision. By then you will have learned enough to know your truth.
Years.
My stomach launches straight into my throat.
We cannot leave for years,
sorrow drenches Andarna's words.
You can, he rebuts.
By myself? She freezes. Oh, gods. My spine stiffens, and a terror I've never encountered before locks my muscles. He means to separate us.
I have saved the human you care for by firing the protections in place, he states, like he's checking off boxes that might impede her departure. She will be safe from all but her own kind under the wing of your mentor.
I cannot leave her! And Darna's head draws back. My heart thunders a dangerously quick beat.
You must. This was not meant for you, nor any of our line. Look at what happened tonight. Had I not interfered, you would no longer exist.
His scales flicker, taking on a pearlescent sheen.
There is nothing here for you but war and suffering.
And me, and Taryn, and Sigale. It takes all my self-control not to scream it, not to ruin this moment for Andarna. I am bonded, Andarna's tail lowers, curving around me. Our lives, our minds, the very energy that forms us is intertwined. Right. That, exactly, I find myself nodding.
So end it.
He angles his head, and the scales above his eyes furrow into a single line.
Bonds are merely magical ties. You are Irid. You are magic. Bend it, shape it, break it as you see fit.
Wait, what? I cannot, and Darna's tail winds closer. Air becomes scarce and my head starts to swim.
And yet you already did.
He glances down at me.
Who bonded you first?
This can't be real. Maybe I'm dreaming or in Zayden's dream, though we've definitely stumbled into nightmare territory. They chose me the same day. He sighs in annoyance and steam gusts over me.
Who spoke to you first?
My eyes shift, and I throw my thoughts back to threshing.
Step aside, Silver One.
Taryn's voice rumbles through my memory. Taryn, I whisper, turning my face toward Andarna. I take in everything about her, from the pattern of her scales, the slope of her nose, the angle of her eyes, up to the swirls on her horns that match his. You didn't speak to me until you gave me your name on the flight field. She blinks.
See?
Leothan shifts his focus to Andarna.
Humans should only be capable of bonding a single dragon, and yet you forged a second connection where there shouldn't be one. Only an Irid can do that. Your instincts are excellent, but you need instruction. Break the connection, and come with me.
My heartbeat thunders like hoofbeats in my ears. But Violet, and Darna's tone shifts from denial to, Amari, help me. Is that worry? I blench as it hits me. She wants to go. Of course she does. He's her family, the only dragon of her kind willing to accept her. I'm the one holding her back.
Her other bond will sustain her life,
Leothan states, like that's all there is between Andarna and me.
Should you choose to return, you can always reforge the bond.
When she doesn't respond, he lowers his head to my eye level.
She is emotionally ensnared because of her age. What would you have her do?
Andarna ducks her head. I... Warmth drains from my face, but I keep my eyes on her, memorizing every detail like it might be the last time I see her. The possibility is unfathomable. I developed my signet out of sheer need for her, and yet it feels like we're hurtling towards some kind of precipice. I love you, and I want you to feel complete, I tell her, and she slowly meets my gaze. I want you happy and safe and thriving. I want you to live. My voice breaks.
even if it's not with me.
Admirable, Leothan says. I understand your choice.
Yearning floods the bond, so deep it aches within my own chest, and the pain of it sucks the breath from my lungs. I force my head to nod, feeling everything she can't say. I do not know how, she starts. A shrieking whistle sounds in my head, and then only silence remains. I reach for the bond and find only a wall. Then, nothing. And Darna whips her head toward Leothan. He launches without warning, springing high above me. His wings snap open and wind blasts my face as he gains altitude. His scales flicker, turning the color of the cloudy night sky, and he begins to disappear. And Darna roars up at him, and then her gaze swings wildly, focusing behind me, then to the right, then landing on me for the length of a heartbeat. Her eyes flare like she wants to say something, and I throw myself at the wall where our bond should be. But it's gone. A breath later, so is she. All that's left is a gust of wind as her scales blend into the sky. A roar vibrates to my very bones, and my ears ring as the edges of my vision darken. My heart stutters, and my lungs cease their struggle. There's no air and no reason to seek it. I was infinite, yet moored. And now I'm hollow and adrift in waters too vast to comprehend. My knees buckle, then collide with the ground. Violet! Someone shouts, and racing boot steps register a second before she crouches in front of me, her brown eyes searching mine for answers I don't have. Are you all right? I'm nothing. The sky darkens, and the ground trembles. I look up into the black void, and my vision narrows in an ever-shrinking circle. Not the sky. A wing. Stern, demanding golden eyes appear.
You will breathe.
His deep, gravelly voice fills my head, and unyielding strength barrels down the pathway that connects us. Tarn. He exists. Therefore, I must. Because we are bound. Never alone. Always connected. I gasp, and air rushes in. My heart pounds in an erratic, painful beat, but the edges of my vision clear. She left us. She left us. She left us. It's all I can think.
We remain.
Tarn orders, as if I have a choice not to.
What happened?
Someone hits his knees beside me, and my gaze swings, meeting amber-flecked onyx. Not someone. Zayden.
Violet!
Worry and fear slide down the bond that tethers us, and the connection anchors my heartbeat. I exist for Tarn, but I live for Zayden.
I don't know, Rhiannon answers, and I find her watching me with heart-rending worry that I instantly want to soothe.
Rhi's still here. So are Mira and Brennan and Riddick and Sawyer and Dane.
And Jacinia and Imogen and Arik.
Everyone is here but her.
How could she do this?
Sigale snaps, fury sharpening the words to daggers.
She's gone,
I whisper to Rhi, then crumple under the weight of the unbearable truth. Zayden catches me, tugging my shoulder against his chest, and his brow furrows as our gazes collide.
Andarna's gone.
An excerpt from Colonel Kaori's Field Guide to Dragonkind. No rider has ever survived the loss of their dragon. I can't imagine wanting to. Chapter 54.
And Darna is gone.
I don't leave our room for the next 3 days. I barely leave our bed. And Darna is gone. But I'm never alone. Brennan reads in a chair by my bedside in the mornings while I drift in and out of sleep. My squadmates take over in the afternoon, but their voices barely cut through the fog of exhaustion. There is an endless stream of company that doesn't know what to say, which is fine by me since I don't have it in me to answer. Zayden holds me at night, wrapping his arms and his mind around me. And Darna is gone.
Taryn leaves our bond wide open, giving me unfettered access to him in a way I've never had. He's always been with me, but now I'm with him too. I hear his side of the conversation when he tells the elders about Endarna's departure. I hear him bickering with Sigale over what he calls her excessive hovering. And I'm privy to the lecture he gives Zayden about making sure I eat. That's not all I hear. For the first 2 days, every time the door opens, there's an air of celebration, sounds of happy voices and laughter that fade the second someone walks in. Of course they're happy. Aracia's safe. The very thing we were desperate for a few months ago has been accomplished. I don't blame them for celebrating. I just can't join them. That would require feeling something. Anything. I sleep, but I don't dream. And Darna is gone. The atmosphere shifts on the third day, but I don't ask about the tension in my squadmate's silence. Not because I don't care, but because it takes all my energy to perform what should be the natural act of breathing. She'll come back, right? She has to. She isn't dead. Leothan will ensure she makes it across the sea. And if she returns to find me like this, huddled in on myself, I won't be worthy of her relic. If this is an emotional gauntlet, I'm failing. But there's no rope to grab to prevent my fall this time. On the fourth morning, I wake when the mattress dips behind me.